And here we are again for another half hour of the 1963 sound with the Beatles. That's John Lennon, George Harrison, Paul McCartney, and Ringo Starr.
And who are you, my man?
I thought you'd never ask.
I'm Bob Boylan.
Joe Fult.
And I'm Robin Hilton.
And you're connected to All Songs Considered. Bam! Called the Beatles.
The Beatles.
That was their first UK single, first single in England back in 1963. But that is from this amazing collection that's out. I mean, you'd think there'd be nothing left. But right. There's all these recordings. The Beatles, they did like 52 shows on the BBC in the 60s, early 60s, this one in 63. And now there's on air, live at the BBC 2, downloadable. It comes with a 48-page book. There's 37 unreleased performances and 20 or so recordings of like studio banter, real fun stuff. 63 tracks. Yeah, we're talking the period of 1963 to 1965. So much fun. We played a Beatles song the other night in a listening party we did for folks, right?
Yeah.
And it was so refreshing and fun to hear. There's a total innocence, mm-hmm. right? Please, please me. Like
people in these listening parties, they hold up cards and rate the songs we play, 1 through 10, and all the 10s came up when the Beatles played.
Live at the BBC, there's also a beautiful book documenting those times.
Well, let's stay in that period of music, the early 1960s.
I can't believe you have something from the early 1960s.
I know.
This is randomly picked.
Well, so while that was happening over in the UK, in New York City in the US was this folk music scene.
Right, in Greenwich Village.
In Greenwich Village, it was unfolding where, you know, Bob Dylan came out of that. Some of the greatest folk singers of all time came out of that scene. There's a new movie by the Coen brothers called Inside Llewyn Davis, which looks at this folk scene
from the point of view of a guy just trying to
So hard. Well, Llewyn Davis, Inside right. Llewyn Davis, that's the name of his record, his character's record that he puts out, and he's trying to get people to pick up. You know, back in 2000, the Coen brothers did a film called Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, which had a lot of amazing music in it, and it really sparked this revival in bluegrass. It was just hugely popular
Probably
soundtrack.
More popular than bluegrass ever was
of
that movie, right?
Yeah, honestly, yeah. It'll be curious to see if they do the same thing for folk music with this film. It stars an actor and singer, Oscar Isaac. He's from Guatemala. And Bob, you and I got to see the movie a month or so ago, and Oscar Isaac, I was just really, really impressed with his talent. He had a gorgeous voice, I thought, and his presence on screen when he sang, I found very captivating. The song I want to play is from the soundtrack to the film. This is actually the song that opens the movie. He's playing this song for a captivated crowd at the Gaslight Cafe, which is an actual place in New York City where a lot of folk artists first started getting recognized.
Hang me, oh, hang me. I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh, hang me. I'll be dead and gone. I wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long, poor boy, I've been all around this world. I've been all around Cape Girardeau, parts of Arkansas, all around Cape Girardeau, parts of Arkansas. I got so goddamn hungry I could hide behind a straw. Poor boy, been all around this world. Went up on the mountain, there I made my stand. Went up on the mountain, there I made my stand. A rifle on my shoulder and the dagger in my hand. Poor boy, I've been all around this world. So hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Gone. I wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long, poor boy, I've been all around this world. Put the rope around my neck, they hung me up so high. Put the rope around my neck and hung me up so high. The last words I heard her say, won't be long now before you die. Poor boy, I've been all around this world. So hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. Hang me, oh hang me, I'll be dead and gone. I wouldn't mind the hanging, but the laying in the grave so long, poor boy, I've been all around this world.
Oscar Isaac is the actor and singer performing that song from Inside Llewyn Davis. His character really struggles in this film without giving away too much. The whole film just really paints this picture of what life was like for an artist struggling in the days, I thought was kind of interesting, in the days before the internet, when a singer really had to get out there and do shows and drag his box of records around everybody.
And that said, that still happens. I mean, I felt, yeah, even though it was, you know, the black and white painted image of the club scene back then and the struggle, it was a pretty universal thing going on with this dude the whole movie.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even just a character who wants to write songs like Hang Me, Oh Hang Me. I mean, there's not that much difference between that and, you know, you name your solo artist these days that is a troubadour of some sort, even if they're with a laptop, you know.
Yeah. There's also Justin Timberlake is in the film, and there's a great scene in a studio where he's being asked to help Justin Timberlake's character record a song that they just know is going to be a hit, and it's just the goofiest song. And you can tell it just pains this, you know, Llewyn Davis character to have to, sell himself out like that.
And that was the kind of folk music that often made it to the radio, you know, and the novelty-esque songs, and the guy who's singing Hang Me, Oh Hang Me, you know, right, at a bar was less likely.
Yeah. Anyway, Inside Llewyn Davis, the movie actually isn't out until December 6th. It showed at Cannes back in May. It's not out widely in the States until December 6th, but the soundtrack, you can hear it now in our first listen series.
Awesome. Now, what would you say if I could keep us at 1963?
I would say you're out of your mind.
So I've been thinking a lot about this idea. Here's the idea.
Okay.
How a song can change your life. Very simple idea. And I thought I would just start, like, going up to artists who I admire and love and talk to them about the song that changed their life. And so last night, for the second night in a row, I went to see James Blake. But this night, I went and talked with James Blake, who I dearly love, and the show is absolute magic. Mm. And I went up, and I barely had my recorder on, and I said, no, we're not going to talk about your record or anything. I just want to ask you something. Was there something in your life, like a song that just absolutely floored you? And right away, he said, yeah, of course. It was called Trouble Blues by Sam Cooke. I went, oh. And then all of a sudden, my brain, all these little things start to spark, and I thought, Sam Cooke? James Blake, yeah, I hear it. I said, what is about that song that, like, is your connection with it? He said, it's the hum. And I said, what do you mean by the hum? But he then went on to sing what he meant.
Well, in Trouble Blues, it's... that. Mm-hmm. And in some subconscious way, maybe I filtered that into Retrograde.
I was going to say, I just got goosebumps thinking that's Retrograde.
Right. And I'll do real quick. I'll play you a tiny bit of Sam Cooke, because Sam Cooke deserves to be heard. And this came out in 1963. That's the 1963.
Good job.
Version. Thank you. This is a little bit of Trouble Blues by Sam Cooke.
Since you went away.
It even sounds like James Blake. I mean, not this part, but the humming part, I thought even sounded like James Blake.
It's
wow.
So great. James Blake went on to describe how being in a house full of people and being self-conscious about trying to, like, find your voice. Mm-hmm. And I said, so when did you hear this? You know, I wonder. And he said, oh, no, 3 years ago. When he was 21, I mean, he's 25 now, so maybe 3.5 years ago.
Yeah.
Heard Sam Cooke from his father, who is also a musician. We have more stories to tell, but that said, one of the records I haven't spent enough time with this year is the Overgrown record, but the James Blake album came out, in April or so?
Yeah.
And when I saw him this weekend, it was such a fabulous, astonishing show. Three musicians, you could close your eyes, you'd have no idea who was playing what, well, besides the drummer, of course. But this wash of sound, these odd rhythms, and this gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous voice. Do you mind if I play a cut?
Let's do it. Let's go back.
Yeah. Should I play Retrograde, or should I play something else from that album?
Well, Retrograde is the song that just really sends me over the moon, no pun intended.
Right.
But it and also begins with that wonderful hummed part that is just like that.
So let's do that. And the cool thing is that organic voice and that synth, that rising synth line that happens in Retrograde are the perfect foil for one another, I think. Here we go.
Everybody else.
we're alone now. Suddenly I'm hidden. It's the darkness of the dawn. And your friends are gone. And your friends won't come. So show me where you fit. So show me where you fit. Don't show me why you're strong, nor everybody else. We're alone now.
That could be one of my favorite songs of the year.
Oh, I am. It'll definitely be in my top five favorite songs of the year. It's a good candidate for number one. Just literally get goosebumps listening to that. And of course, he was amazing.
Oh, yeah, absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And the last song of the show, he comes out all by himself. The other two bandmates not there. All the looping that they do on stage is all done live. There's no, as he made a point to say, no Ableton, no sequence or
no samples
that were prepped. Mm-hmm. So when he sings and sings on top of himself and sings on top of himself, which is how he opened the show and then closed the show, he's doing that all live. And so it's a little bit of a magician, you know. You've seen a magician. So you see it a lot, but still, it's still magic. And his voice singing on top of himself is gorgeous. So he starts to sing the first loop, and he says, I need you to be quiet because otherwise you'll be in the loop. And he starts singing this beautiful, beautiful song, and someone yells out, yeah! And he said, no. And he has to stop.
Like, no, seriously.
Cut the loop. Everyone gets hushed again, and he does it, and it just knocked everybody out.
Wow. That's awesome.
Special guy. Speaking of special guys.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Lars Gottrich.
Yeah.
Our very own joins us from NPR Music.
Why are you here?
Why am I here? Why is anybody here, Bob?
Mind blown.
Show's over. Mic's out. Ah, yes, and.
We should do an experiment to see how long people stay with us. If they assume something's going to happen, we just go to say, you know, like when you're waiting through a movie, credits to see if there's a blooper reel at the end.
People listen to the show for 40 minutes and wait for something to happen every week.
Please, there's got to be something to it. This whole thing's like 40 minutes long. Surely.
And nothing good has come up yet. There's got to be something.
Well, here's your big chance to get us on track.
Well, Bob, this year has been an amazing year for the style of music known as American Primitive. And for those who don't know what American Primitive is, it's this style of music that kind of comes out of a blues tradition, but kind of a wide swath of American music that this guy named John Fahey.
You start with guitar, right?
Yeah, well,
for the most part.
Yeah, well, for the most part. But he kind of like looked at all these different traditions of American music and was thinking about other types of classical music, thinking about Indian classical music and modern composition. And it was like, well, maybe I can do this all in one instrument. And over the past decade, there have been a lot of guitarists that have taken up that mantle. Specifically, Jack Rose was a big one and kind of helped bring it back. And when he passed away in 2009, it felt like there was a pause for a few years. The music didn't stop, but we needed a moment to like recollect ourselves, I think. I think a lot of people in that type of music just needed to think about, well, where does this go now?
There's been a ton this year.
And there's been a ton this year. And this makes me so happy.
We were at the William Tyler show the other night.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite types of music. This is when I go home, this is the kind of music I like to listen to. And 2013, I have like an unofficial list I'm going to put up on my own blog.
On paper.
Yes, of 30 notable records within this style of music this year.
I can't get to 10, but you're going to help us.
Yeah, so I've written a list of 5 American primitive guitar records for the All Songs Considered blog. You know, it barely scratches the surface, but I spend most of the article telling you about the 20 other records you should also listen to.
Because I need to know.
So I want to share a record with you that came out on Mississippi Records, which is both a record store and a label based out of Portland, Oregon. They do a lot of like reissues of folk and blues records, but they also do some new stuff too. And I was introduced to this record by Marissa Anderson. She's based out of Portland as well. A name that I'd never heard before. She's apparently been making this music for a while, and it just goes to show you that you just can never hear it all. And this record, Mercury, is a reflection of a 15-year walking tour of the United States.
Marissa Anderson took?
Yeah, she walked around the United States.
Good
and
grief.
Why would anybody do that? That sounds like a lot of work.
Just need to discover America, dude.
It is pretty amazing.
No, that is amazing. That is totally amazing.
And that's kind of like the purity of this record. It's very raw. All these songs are only like maybe 2 or 3 minutes.
Unusual for this form.
Which is usually they're very expansive and long things, but these feel like little postcards that have been tossed off to strangers.
Cool.
And she does play acoustic guitar, which is what this style is mostly known for, but she loves the electric and the slide guitar, and you hear a lot of that. So I want to play this song, Galax, by Marissa Anderson. This is off her album, Mercury.
So cool.
the thing that I've noticed about American primitive music in 2013 is that the definition of it doesn't hardly exist anymore. If you know about American primitive, you think John Fahey, and you think solo acoustic guitar.
That's what I was expecting.
Yeah, but you're hearing a lot of these artists who maybe started in American primitive and did the solo thing, they're expanding to bands like Kian Nugent out of Dublin, Ireland. He has a full-on psychedelic, very pastoral band that sounds just as good in the countryside as it would in the dive, but it definitely comes from that tradition. It's just electrified. Same thing with Chris Forsyth, which I think he's taking more from television than he is from Fahey, but it's still there.
And a lot of times it's the tie between those music, so psychedelic and the American primitive, is the drone, right?
I mean, yeah, there's just like nice modal and gets into a nice headspace.
Awesome. So the blog post with the five is online now.
Yeah, you can find it at the All Songs Considered blog. And if you're on this page for the show, there will be a nice big old link pointing you to those five records you should hear.
Fabulous.
Thanks as well as 25 others, probably.
Great. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
You know, hearing that music, it makes me actually think of the next band that I wanted to play, Shearwater, with Jonathan Myberg is the lead singer of that band from Austin, Texas. He and Will Sheff founded the band Ockerville River a number of years ago, and then Jonathan broke off and started Shearwater, a band that has a lot of its music, has its roots in folk and in acoustic music, but has broadened its sound to go a little more electrified, just like Lars was talking with American primitive music. Shearwater has put out some of my favorite records of the past 10 years or so. Just some amazing, beautiful, beautiful records. Palo Santo, Rook, Animal Joy was the most recent one. Shearwater is back with a new album. It's not original songs. It's all cover songs. And Myberg, Jonathan Myberg, the lead singer, says that he means for this to be a stepping stone record to get you from the band's last record, which was Animal Joy, and to the next one that's due out sometime next year.
So he's got it cooking.
Yeah, he's working on something here. And I think it actually, what he's working on is perfectly illustrated in the cut that I'm going to play. All cover songs, and this is a song that was originally done by the band Folk Implosion back in 1995. It's called Natural One. Jonathan Myberg says that you can hear what the band is becoming. And in this case, it's becoming big and sinister.
I'm your one natural one.
Man, do I love that song.
I didn't expect that.
You want to hear a little bit of the original version of that song?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. This is the Folk Implosion. Folk Implosion, by the way, is a band that Lou Barlow put together as sort of a side project from his work with Sebado and Dinosaur Jr.
You didn't go.
No, Sebado was in town, I missed that. Well, so this was another project that Lou Barlow did back in the mid-90s, and here's the original version of Natural One. So Shearwater is pretty true to the original version.
Are.
Yeah. Jonathan Myberger, the singer for Shearwater, said that he was in high school when this song came out. And I don't know anybody who's my age or probably, you know, high school age from that time who didn't know this song. It was written for a film called Kids that was a profoundly disturbing movie. And because his association was with it in appearing in that film, he says that it's kind of an icky song. and there's something kind of icky about it. Jen Wassner from Y-Oak is on backing vocals on the Shearwater version. So Shearwater doing this covers record. It's music by Jonathan Myberg's friends and some of his favorite artists. He covers St. Vincent. He covers Coldplay and Clinic. He covers a Y-Oak tune, a bunch of others. Anyway, we'll be doing a first listen on that one when it comes out a little bit later in the month.
Cool. I'm going to do another covers thing. I don't know how.
Synergy!
You know, we can't plan this well.
People should know that. We are so good.
Yeah. So,
we are not very good at all.
So Colin Molloy has just done an EP of Kinks songs.
Oh, so I love his covers project. Colin Molloy's covers projects. He's done several of these.
Right. He did Marcy one, right? And he did Shirley.
I think that was the first one he did. He's done, basically, when he goes out on tour by himself, he takes one of these on the road with him.
He did Shirley Collins, speaking of folk music, great British folk music. Mm-hmm. She was an old, great folkie from the 60s, around the time of 1963, in fact, and onwards, inspired many, many British folk bands. But now he's taken on the Kinks.
It's funny. We had one of these cuts on the site, and Colin Molloy talks about how he picked the Kinks for this. He basically just grabbed a handful of records randomly off of his music shelf and said, I'm going to do one of them. One was Nico, one was Quasi, one was Don Everly, one was the Kinks. And he went through them all. He said, well, it's got to be the Kinks, right? But randomly chosen from his music library.
That's fabulous. So I'm going to play a song called Days. Days is one of those beautiful, sad songs that Ray Davies wrote. It's really about the idea of being incredibly in love and having your lover leave, and it's just it's a tearjerker of a song. Came out in '68 as a 45. It was really never on an album besides a collection, and it was a flop in America. Not such a big hit in England, but it's endured in terms of just a great song.
The day, those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the day. I won't forget a single day, believe me. I bless the light that shines on you, believe me. And though you're gone, you with me every single day, believe me. Days I'll remember all my life. Days when you can't see wrong from right. You took my life, but then I knew that very soon you'd leave me. But it's alright, now I'm not frightened of this world, believe me. I wish today could be tomorrow. The night is dark, it just brings sorrow. Let it wane. Thank you for the day. Those endless days, those sacred days. breaking of the day. I won't forget a single day, believe me. Days I remember all my life. Days when you can't see wrong from right. You took my life. Then I knew that very soon you'd leave me. But it's alright. Now I'm not frightened of this world, believe me. Day, thank you for the day. Those endless days, those sacred days you gave me. I'm thinking of the day. Single day, believe me. I've blessed the light that shines on you, believe me. And though you're gone, you're with me every single day, believe me.
We're going to start.
More, please.
We're going to start keeping boxes of Kleenex in the studio.
Hold me, man. Spoon me.
No, I'm not. Well, now it stopped. That shifted that mood.
No, you know, I never really thought about the similarities between the Decemberist music and Colin Molloy's songwriting style and Ray Davies' songwriting style. But great story songwriters, right?
They really are.
And hearing Colin Molloy do these Kink songs, it just would fit perfectly up with any of his work that he's done with the Decemberists.
Well, I'm going to go see him tonight and really look forward. I hope he does that song, and I'm going to pack some tissues in my back pocket. It's such a beautiful song for just
it really is.
In so many ways. Before we play our last song, somebody came by the NPR offices the other day and left at the guard station. Her name is Michaela Amato.
And it's a good thing we've got sound security here at this building to keep all the great unwashed out.
And look what she did. Look at this.
She knitted you a scarf.
Is that not amazing?
That is really beautiful.
But I had no way to thank her, so this is the only way I did. She wrote, I'll just share just a bit of this note. It's so sweet. She said, I crocheted this scarf. I suppose it could be fashioned as a banner. Maybe we'll hang it up, Alex. Maybe we'll hang it up at the tiny desk for a concert or two. And as I listened to an episode this week, dropping stitches so I could jot down the names of artists and songs you and other contributors so graciously shared, it's all I really have to offer as a token of my gratitude. And she goes on. It's just this beautiful note. So
now,
thank
was
you.
This written to All Songs Considered or to Bob Boylan?
It says, dear, I think it's clear. It says, dear Bob Boylan, Mr. Boylan.
Huh. Interesting.
Sorry, buddy.
Well, I guess I'm not going to get to wear that scarf. Then,
no, but, this is mine. Mm. Thank you.
Well, that is really
so
lovely.
Much, Michaela. And really so sweet. We do get...
I'm a small to a medium small for anyone else out there who's listening.
Are you talking about shirts?
Yeah, yeah. And winter's coming up here in D.C., and, it gets pretty cold here, I could use a cardigan.
She likes sugar cookies, too.
Yeah, I do.
She's kind of a
although, former intern Lori Liebig just made a batch of sugar cookies that I devoured, and I thought I was losing my mind by the end of it all. I had so much sugar coursing through my veins. It was pretty pretty awesome.
Speaking of sugar, no.
Should we go out on Broken Bells?
Let's do that.
Broken Bells. You know, the Broken Bells record, it came out in 2010. James Mercer of The Shins and Danger Mouse, Brian Burton, otherwise known as Danger Mouse, that record they put out in 2010. I just listened to it more than any other record that year, and I'm so excited that they are coming back in January of next year with a brand new record. It's called After the Disco. If you go to the All Songs Considered website, there's an interview, Bob, you and I did with Broken Bells, with James Mercer, and with
talking
Brian,
about how
Reinberg.
They made the record, yeah, put it together.
How they made this record.
Quite a collaboration.
Yeah, it really was very much a joint effort. They even wrote the lyrics together, even though it comes off as a very personal record. I love the title, After the Disco. It implies so many different things. It reminds me of that Stars record that came out in 2007 called In Our Bedroom After the War. It just implies this entire narrative in just this one short little title, After the Disco. The song that I want to play, and it's also included in our interview with them, you can hear, is called Holding On for Life. This song is very, very Bee Gees sounding disco song to me. And you know, and when we talked with them about it in the interview, they said it was completely unintentional, but
yeah,
it's undeniable.
The they didn't set out to make a disco record. In fact, the whole disco thing was lyrically was an after
right.
thought. You know,
yeah.
I mean, all the lyrics came later, the music came earlier, but it's fairly undeniable, even though I'm not sure they see it as clearly.
Yeah, I think Brian Burton even says in the interview that he didn't think it sounded very disco, but I think it's pretty undeniable, at least in tracks like this one.
And I think it's a controversial song for them, for fans of this band. This is not what you'd expect from Broken Bells.
Yeah.
There's other songs on the record that you might expect more, but not this one, right?
Yeah, but what a fantastic song. Holding On for Life from After the Disco, it is out January 14th.
Another magic show.
Yeah. You know, it's not too early to start thinking about the new year, music for the new year.
I am putting lists together. Maybe we should do a little blog post about how do you do your year-end lists? We can talk about how we do ours, but how do you do yours?
Yeah. Maybe make that a question of the week.
Great. That comes out every Monday as a question of the week. This week's question?
This week's question, do music reviews matter to you?
Yeah.
And
tell us
what you think. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Robin. For NPR Music, it is, in fact, All Songs Considered.